Okay, ladies, good morning. Let me tell you what I want to try and do in the next hour. I've got about an hour and a few minutes. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. My goal is to do two things. If you're just coming in, please take a sheet from the Ständer and make sure you have one when you sit down. My goal is to do two things. Number one is to give you some proper background as to where Second Day Yom Tov comes from, the halachic underpinnings, the historical background, so you know why people are keeping Second Day Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. That's very important as the first thing. The second half of the shiur, I want to try and explain what people living in Israel should be doing, or people, sorry, visiting Israel, living in Israel is easy. People visiting Israel from Chutz La'aretz, whether they're visiting just for Yom Tov, whether they're here for a longer period of time, whether they're here for a year, whether they're here even, you know, on Shirut Lami or whatever they're doing in a longer term way, or they own property here, etc. I want to try and give you a little bit of structure to understand where all these different psakim come from, because I'm sure you've heard a lot of different people ask questions, should I keep 2 days Yom Tov? And some people say yes, some people say no, some people see a day and a half. We'll see where the day and a half thing comes from as we go along. So that's what I propose to do. Understand Second Day Yom Tov and explain what Chutznikim do in Israel. What I'm not going to do today is Paskin Your Shilas, okay? I'm not the posik for the school. Rabbi Lerner is very much the posik for the school, and I'd encourage you to speak to him. I'd encourage you to speak to your Rabbanim back home, your posik here, whoever it is you ask a shayla to. If you're not sure who you ask a shayla to, then you can speak to me, that I'm very happy to help you with. And I'm happy to advise generally, but I'm not in this shiur trying to push one psak over another. We'll see that there are very legitimate piskei halacha of 1 day, 2 days, a day and a half from different people. Where you fit into that will depend to some degree on your circumstances and also on who you ask your shilas to, which we can talk about privately afterwards. So let's start off by talking about Yom Tov Sheni generally and giving you the historical perspective. I'm not going to do every source on the sheet. I've given you a very comprehensive source sheet. There are 45 sources. There are 50 footnotes. There are references to any number of things, that articles and videos. I know you're not going to be watching the videos, but whatever, things explaining and helping to understand how these things work. So I've really given you almost like a source book to help you go into this more later. But I'm going to pick out some of the relevant sources today and help you hopefully have a proper picture. So first of all, there is such a thing as a month, okay, a chodesh, and that starts as the first mitzvah in the Torah that is given to the Jewish people, number one, Vayom Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadoshim. This is going to be a new month for you. There is a mitzvah to understand when is the new month, the beginning of the new month. And the first month of the year is, of course, Nisan, and the mitzvah goes on from there. The moon orbits around the earth, that I'm sure you all knew. And I brought you a little picture on page one. The beginning of the month is what we call in halacha the molad, where the new moon is born. That is the moment at which we cannot see the moon at all, because the sun, if you like, is behind it on the other side. Not directly behind it, otherwise there'd be an eclipse. But behind it, if you in directional terms, you'll see the picture I put here. And the moon gradually grows. You end up with a crescent, and then a half moon, and then a full moon, and then a waning moon, until eventually the moon shrinks to nothing by the end of the month. If you know even a very small amount about astronomy, you should be able to predict on any given night, at any given time, exactly where the moon is in the sky. I could teach you how to do that in about 10 minutes. It's really not hard to do. I see these guys going out to do Kiddush Levon on Motzei Shabbos, looking all around in the wrong directions. There's no way the moon could ever be where they're looking. It's not hard. You can work it out. But we're not here to learn astronomy. You can do that another time. For our purposes, we need to know that if you turn to page 2, that the moon is almost exactly 29 and a half. The month is 29 and a half days long. In fact, Chazal calculated the month here in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and they calculated it to be 29.53059 days long. That's the calculation. You can work it out yourselves, which is very interesting because there are many different ways of measuring the exact month in science. One of the classic ways, the synodic month, is actually almost exactly the same, 29.530588, which is very, very similar. So Chazal already had the moon down to about 5 decimal places in terms of the length of the month. The problem that we have, of course, is that the month changes in the middle of the day. Really, the month should end in the middle of the day and begin in the middle of the day, but we don't do that. We only have the month beginning on a new day. Why? Pasuk in the Torah number 3. It talks about at Chodesh Yamim. There has to be a month of full days. So we cannot have Nisan starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The month has to start when the day starts, and therefore we're left with a problem just mathematically. Each month is 29 and a half days long, and yet each month has to start on a new day. So with 12 months over the year, what we have is 6 of those 12 roughly have 30 days, and 6 of them have 29 days. And that way each month comes out of being 29 and a half days. Which 6 have 29? Which 6 have 30? So now we have a fixed calendar, which determines that in advance, and we'll talk about where that came from. But back in the day, they had to work that out through Adim. And if you look here, you'll see the basic halacha in the Rambam. Look in number 4. There was a Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin have 4 specific mitzvahs when it came to the new month. Mitzvahs ase min ha-Torah al Beis Din. There's a positive mitzvah on the Beis Din to do the following 4 things. 1. Shichashvu v'yedu, that they should calculate and they should know im yireach ayireach or lo yireach. They should know if the moon is going to appear or is not going to appear. In other words, the Beis Din had to know, before the witnesses even came, they had to know exactly how long the month was. And they can work this out mathematically. And this is important because we'll see all the way through history, even when we kept a second day of Yom Tov because of this, that, and the other, really somewhere somebody knew exactly which day was the right day. The Beis Din had to work that out. That's number 1. V'sheyidrashu es ha'edim, and they would investigate the witnesses. What would witnesses do? They would look out of their window onto the western horizon at the beginning of the new month, and they would see if they could spot the tiny sliver of the moon. If the witnesses saw the tiny sliver of the moon, they would run up to Yerushalayim. They were even allowed to break Shabbos. They were allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to get to Yerushalayim to announce that we've seen the moon. So they would investigate these witnesses. Ad shikachu es ha-chodesh, until eventually they were able to be Makadesh the Chodesh. That's the 3rd thing. Meaning, if the witnesses checked out, if the witnesses didn't check out because they said all the wrong things, they said, oh, we saw the moon, it was this big and it was in this part of the sky, and the Beis Din knew that was impossible, so they'd say, you know, politely, thank you very much, very nice of you to come, next please, etc. They'd always make people feel good so that they'd come next month, but they knew exactly which witnesses were right. If the witnesses checked out, and the new month turned out to be on the 30th day, okay, so it turns out the last month was Chaser, only 29 days, they would declare the 30th day to be the new, the first day of the month to be Rosh Chodesh. So let's say the witnesses saw the new moon appear on Tuesday evening, they'd run to Beis Din. Wednesday morning, they tell Beis Din, they'd investigate them, they checked out, they say, yes, indeed, the moon was there last night, thank you for bringing testimony, today is Rosh Chodesh. If no witnesses came, or the witnesses came but they didn't check out, so they would not declare the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. The 31st day was Rosh Chodesh. Couldn't be later than that. Therefore, last month was 30 days, which is called Malay, which is a full month. Fine? So they did 3 things so far. They calculated, they investigated the witnesses, they declared the new moon, and the 4th thing is on the second line, number 4, Vishalchu v'yoidiu es shar ha'am. They had a mitzvah to tell everybody else. Just 1 second, Michal, comes to you in a minute. They had a mitzvah to tell everybody else that the new moon had been declared. Be'ezi yom hu Rosh Chodesh, which is the day of Rosh Chodesh. Kedei sheyedu be'ezi yom hein hamoadot. So they'd know which day to calculate the chagim. Obviously, the most important 2 new moons that they had to get right and tell the people were which are the most important months? Tishrei and Nisan. Nisan they needed to know for Pesach. Okay, Shavuos was not a problem. Why is Shavuos not a problem? Because not just because it's in the middle of the month. Because once you know Pesach, you know Shavuos. Because Shavuos follows automatically from Pesach. So Pesach is obviously an issue for Nisan. And Tishrei, they need to work out Sukkos, Yom Kippur. Of course, Rosh Hashanah was even more tricky because they had to know right there and then. And that's what Shana talks about on, if you remember, on her Dvar Torah. Michal, you had a question? Yes, and they had to. If no witnesses came at all, they would announce that the last month was Malay, 30 days. So day 31 is Rosh Chodesh. It can't be later than that. So one way or the other, you get a new moon. Either you get it, the new month declared on the 30th or the 31st day. So far, straightforward. How did they tell the people? How did they communicate that to the people? So there are 3 stages, at least 3 stages in this development. First of all, they use beacons. Have a look in source number 6. I've drawn you a pretty picture here as well of how this works. They say, it says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah like this. Bereshayna hayu mesiyin mesuot. Originally they would wave beacons. How did they do that? Rashi explains, based in loy hayu mesiyin mesuot ela b'chodesh nizkash b'yom ha-shloshim. If they declare the new month on the 30th day, that means last month was 29 days, they would wave the beacons, kadamrin and bepirka, as we see in the chapter, kashaloi hayu mesiyin, and if they didn't wave them, then everybody knew that the last month was 30 days, and Rosh Chodesh was on the 31st. How did they wave the beacons? So it gives the exact details. They went on to Har HaZeisim. You know where Har HaZeisim is? We saw it when we went to Ir David. They'd have a massive beacon there, like light the beacons and the fires. You know what I'm talking about? On top of the mountains? Okay, you know like that scene in The Lord of the Rings? Where they light all the beacons, you know? That's what you were thinking about? It's what? Oh, I don't know about that, I'm sorry. My repertoire is a bit limited. So imagine them lighting the beacons on the top of the hills. So they'd light on Har HaZeisim. They'd light on a mountain called Sartava. It says Sartava is a very, very conspicuous mountain. It's a triangular mountain. If you drive up the Jordan Valley, you'll see, if we ever go up together on the bus, I'll point it out to you, a big pointy triangular mountain. And from then they go up to the north, and from then they go to Bavel. So beacons, of course, are instantaneous. If you light beacons, then pretty much immediately everybody at the other side of those beacons knows which day is Rosh Chodesh. So that everybody kept one day of Yom Tov because they knew which day was Rosh Chodesh. Of course, if you lived in Italy or Alexandria or wherever there where there were no beacons, you never knew which day was the second day Yom Tov, and therefore the day of Yom Tov rather, therefore you had to keep 2 days. And we'll see in a minute, already there was a takana from the earliest time that people had to keep 2 days Yom Tov if they lived in a place where there were no beacons, because they didn't know. They didn't know if it was a full month or a missing month, a chaser or a male, and therefore maybe Yom Tov is today, maybe it's tomorrow. So, originally in the first stage of the historical process, a lot of people knew, some people didn't, and therefore some people kept one day in Israel and Chutz La'aretz, wherever there were beacons, and people who lived too far away or didn't get beacons, they kept 2 days. Turn over to page 3, please. I want to point out to you a very important thing. Yes, Barry?
Was it 29 and 30 or 30?
Either the month is 29 and therefore Rosh Chodesh is day 30, or the month is 30 and Rosh Chodesh is day 31. Okay? Now, this is very important, because even when people were keeping 2 days Yom Tov, comes along the Gemara and says in number 8, Miyamois Ezra ve'elech loy matzinu Elul me'ubar. From the days of Ezra and onwards, we never found that Elul was a full month of 30 days. It was always a 29-day month. And the same, by the way, is true of Nisan, of Adar rather. In number 9 it says that, K'moy kein Nisan loy matzinu Adar mu'ubar. So even though there was technically a question, living in Italy or wherever you lived, and you didn't get the beacons and you didn't know, nevertheless, there was a rove. What's a rove? A majority. There was a majority of months on which they could rely on to know that even though no one actually told us which day was technically Rosh Chodesh, every single Elul is always 29 days. Every single Adar is always 29 days. So even though they kept 2 days of Yom Tov out of Sofik, really halachically, there wasn't much of a Sofik, because they did everything they possibly could to make sure that the Elul and Adar were always 29 days. But nevertheless, they kept 2 days of Yom Tov because that Sofik to some degree existed. But just be aware that halachically, there was not as much of a Sofik as people might think. Now, next. It all went wrong with the beacons. Why? Because there were a group of people who messed it up. Have a look at number 10. Look in the Rambam. I'm doing this quite quickly because it gives you the background. Bereshayna, originally, kushihayu based in Mekadshim Es HaChodesh, originally, says the Rambam, when they would be Mekadish, the new moon, hayimeisiyim mesuas, they would wave beacons. Bereshayna Haharim, on the mountaintops, kideshi yedu harachoykim, so the people far away would know. Mishekilkulu hakutim, from when the kutims are the Samaritans, or maybe it says the minim, there are different girsahs, but there were a group of sectarian people who didn't want the days to turn out like they would turn out. We'll see why in a minute. They messed up the beacons. Shehai Mesiyah Masuois, they waved their own beacons. Kedela Hatois Isa'am, to confuse everybody. So the system broke down. So what did they do? Hitkinu, they made a new takana. Shushluchim Yoitzim Ubodim Larabin. They sent people out on horses to tell people. But shluchim elu einu mechalim as Yom Tov, they couldn't be mechalim Yom Tov. They certainly couldn't be mechal Shabbos. She'ei mechal is a Shabbos l'kaimer ela l'katsha bilvad. The only people who'd be mechal Shabbos were the people who came up as the witnesses. But the shluchim, the messengers, could not be mechal Shabbos or yontzev. Now, obviously, sending out messengers is much, much slower for obvious reasons. Because you have to send a guy out on a horse or guys out on horses, and they reach wherever they reach. So there were many people who used to get the beacons who no longer get the messengers. Let me ask you a question. Which was a quicker month to send out the messages, Nisan or Tishrei? Which month were the messengers able to get further, Nisan or Tishrei? Nisan. Why? Because what? It's not a longer month. Either way, Sukkot is
later in the
month. Pesach's on the 15th, just like Sukkot is. So Rosh Hashanah already they couldn't travel. So that was a day they couldn't travel. Yom Kippur they couldn't travel. And therefore there were people who didn't get the messengers in Tishrei who would get them in Nisan. And we'll see what they did. But anyway, that didn't get the messengers basically had to keep 2 days of Yontif. Who are these people who were trying to mess up the beacons? So it's not entirely clear. It says the Minim, the heretics, or the Kutim, the Samaritans. There was a group of people at the late Second Temple period called the Baitusim. You heard of these people, the Baitusim? These people were very focused on making sure that the Omer was brought on a Sunday. Dafka on a Sunday. Why? What was their big problem?
Because
it says in the Torah, you bring the Omer mimacharata Shabbat, from the day after Shabbat. We know from Torah Shabbal Peh that doesn't mean Shabbat, it means Pesach. The Omer comes on the day after Pesach. They said, no, we're taking the Torah literally, it means Shabbat. Therefore, they do anything they could to engineer the holiday so that it came out, so that the day of the Omer was a Sunday, therefore Shavuos turned out to be a Sunday. Maybe it was those people that were messing things up, maybe it was someone else, but either way, it got messed up, and they had to send out these messengers. Now, who got the messengers? So there are two things, and this is also worth thinking about. The Rambam explains very clearly. Have a look at number 11. Kol makom shehayu shluchim magiim. Anywhere that the messengers got to, hayu oisem esamoados yomtzef echad. They kept one day yomtzef, kakos of basoira, like it says in the Torah. Umakomas haruchaykim, and anyone who's far away, she'ena shluchim magiim aleihem, that the shluchim don't get to them, hayu oisem shnei yamim lipnei hasofik, because they really didn't know. Even though there was a roiv in the months we saw before, they didn't know. The Vishayinim Yoidim Yom Shekavu were based in Rosh Chodesh, Eze Yom. But the Rambam goes further and says that even in Israel, let me ask you a question. If you send a guy on a horse from Jerusalem, how far can the guy get in 10 days? How far can they get? Can they cover the whole of Israel? 10 days on a horse? Yeah, you can pretty much walk around the whole of Israel in 10 days on foot, okay? Maybe not down to the Eilat, I'm not talking about that, but you can get to the Galil, certainly on a horse. Can you get further? Yeah, you can get to Lebanon, you can get out to Syria, you can get on a horse in 10 days, quite a long time. So there were people who were keeping one day of Yontif even beyond Eretz Israel. But there were people who were keeping 2 days Yontif even in Eretz Israel. Who? Small towns who never got the messengers. The Rambam holds that a lot of people didn't get messengers because they just didn't send them. They didn't send them to every single village. And there were villages, therefore, that just never found out when Yontif was being kept. And therefore, they kept 2 days Yontif even in Israel. Why is that important? Because there were shitas, even in the modern period, that says that now that we have the idea of Minhag Avoseinu B'Yadein, we'll see where that comes from in a minute, now we have to keep whatever they kept then. There were some people, particularly the Brisker Rav, the Chazon Ish, that would keep 2 days of Yontif even in certain parts of Israel, areas which were not settled at the time of the Mishnah. New towns, New Jerusalem, Bnei Brak. Therefore, if you hear the idea of people living in Israel in certain new places, keeping 2 days in it, it's a big chumrah, nobody really does this. But that's where it comes from, because they said, well, these people never got messengers in the first place, and therefore they all kept 2 days, and therefore we have to keep 2 days too. That's definitely not the mainstream position, definitely not, but it's there as a chumrah, and it comes from the shita of the Rambam. Fine. So people are getting messengers, some people are keeping a one, some people are keeping two. Go over the page to page 4. Comes along the Gemara. By the way, when did this switch happen from the beacons to the messengers? So the Gemara Yerushalmi, this is not on your sheet, I only found it yesterday, okay, on Yom Kippur. I was looking around on a couple of things. I found this Gemara Yerushalmi yesterday, thanks to an article by Rabbi Brovsky that I read. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that the change happened during Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi. When did Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi live? 2nd century. So by the 3rd, 4th century, they were already into the messengers, and comes along the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, number 14, and picks up on this period. Amar Shmuel. Now, where was Shmuel living? At Bavel. When? Around the 3rd, 4th, 3rd century. It says like this. Amar Shmuel. Yachilna, I'm able, letikune lekula goyla, to be matakin the calendar for the whole of the galut. In other words, I know which day the new moon falls. I don't need messengers. How did he know? How did he know? He worked it out. He had no calendar yet. He calculated it. He worked out that today has to be Rosh Chodesh. Today couldn't be Rosh Chodesh, whatever it was. He said, I could calculate it. So then there's a shaila. People who are not living in a place where the shluchim come, but they work, they know it anyway, are they allowed to keep one day of Yom Tov because they really know which day it is? So look in 15 and 16. 15 and 16, I want to focus in a bit more carefully because they're sources that we really need to understand. Amale Rav Safa and Rebbe Abba. So Rav Safa says to Rebbe Abba, come on, ladies. Source 15, let's go. Rav Safra says to Rebbe Abba as follows. Kagain Anon, people like us, he says. The Yadina Bekfir Diyarcha, we know how to calculate the new month. Should we keep 2 days Yom Tov? Be Yishuv, Lo Yavdinon. In the Yishuv, in the Jewish places where people, Jews live, we don't do it. Mipnei Shinu Machloikas, because we don't want to cause Machloikas. Meaning they said we keep 2 days Yom Tov, even though we know we don't have to, because we don't want to cause a Machloikas, because not everybody knows that there's only one day. But Midbar Mai, what should we do if we're on our own in the desert? Meaning if we go on a holiday, just the group of us who know how to calculate the new moon, when there were these messengers going, but we don't need a messenger, what should we do? Amalei Hachem Avrami. So Rav Ami said the following. Be Yishuv, Osa. In a Jewish place, you have to keep 2 days. You can't break your second day Yom Tov. But Midbar Mutter, but in the desert, it's Mutter. Meaning, if you really know which is the right day, there's no reason to keep second day Yom Tov, he said. Because you know which is the right day. Therefore, at the time of the Gemara, there were some people keeping 2 days, some people keeping 1 day. Even in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, most people were keeping 2 days because they didn't get the messengers, but some people were keeping 1 day. Because they knew. By the way, we have a little bit of a similar scenario today when Israelis go to Chutz La'aretz. If an Israeli goes to Chutz La'aretz and they keep 1 day, so when they're living in a yeshuv, when they're in the Jewish area, they have to keep 2 days Yom Tov. They can't drive down the middle of Brooklyn on second day Yom Tov, cause a massive machlokas. They can't do that. But if they're living in a place where there are no Jews, if they're living on the mountaintop, if they go to a bungalow colony or they're living in the Arizona deserts or whatever it is, so they only need to keep 1 day. They don't have to keep 2 days. I quite often fly on second day Yom Tov from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, and depending on which poskim you ask, some people say you should sit in the airport because you're now in a nearer Jewish area, but some people say no, if there are no Jews around the airport, so you can just get in the car and drive and just go, don't go anywhere Jewish. So I drive up England to see my parents 200 miles away from London, and I kind of arrive when second day Yom Tov goes out. Magically. Yeah, where did you come from? Okay. So that's a little bit similar to what we have here. Yes. So that we'll see at the end of the sheet, or we might not see because we may not have time, there's a machlokas in the poskim as to what an Israeli does in private. Everybody agrees that an Israeli in public has to keep Yom Tov. They have to wear Yom Tov clothes, they can't drive a car, go do malacha. The question is, what's in their private room? Can they check their emails? They're sitting in New York, but they're Israeli. Can they go on their computer? And some poskim are machmir, some poskim are mekel. Most poskim tend to take a stringent view on that, but some don't. Therefore, that's an interesting shaila as to what you'd be allowed to do. Yes, they certainly put on tefillin and things like that. They daven chol. They don't keep any of the things that will be kula. Yes. Yeah. So we'll get there. Let's look at number 16. Number 16 is an important source. We have to look at it in detail. Itzmar says a Gemara in Beitza. Shnei yamim tovim shel galius. There's 2 days of Yom Tov in galut. What is the halacha of an egg? Of course, this is the whole sugi at the beginning of Beitza there. What is the halacha of an egg born on the first day of Yom Tov? Can you eat it on the second day of Yom Tov? So look at this machlokas. Noel de bazer, so Rav says, Noel de bazer, muteris bazer. Rav says if it's born on first day Yom Tov, the egg is laid on first day Yom Tov, you can eat it on second day Yom Tov. Rav Asi said, no, noel de bazer, asura bazer. Rav Asi says you can't eat it on second day Yom Tov. What's the machlokas? So let's carry on. Ami Rebbe Zeira. This is probably the most important source in the first half of the shir, so focus on this. Ami Rebbe Zeira. So Rebbe Zeira says the following. Kavase de Rav Asi Mistabra. I think that the view of Rav Asi, who says you're not allowed to eat it on the second day, I go with that view. Why? De Ha'idna. And this is kind of Ruthie coming towards an answer to your question. These days, he says, Yadina b'kfir de Yarcha. We know which is really the right day, because we saw there were Amoraim who could work it out. We know which is the right day. V'kavdin on Trey Yumi, but we nevertheless keep 2 days. Meaning, Rashi explains, I'm not going to go into the whole Rashi, Rav Asi and Rabbi Zeira are saying that the second day Yontef is a takana. In other words, even though they knew the correct day, it was a takana that they had to keep 2 days Yontef, and therefore it was like one big Yontef, and therefore an egg laid at the beginning is also Osa on the second day too. Abaya comes in and says, Abaya says, no, Kvase derav mistabra, I think we should be lenient and eat the egg on the second day. Why? Because then he brings the whole thing with the beacons. We now get these shluchim. Ilu bitlu kutim. If we could get rid of the problem in Yerushalayim, get rid of these sectarians, avdin and chadyuma, we'd all keep 1 day. In other words, we really know which is the right day. The heichad umat shluchim avdin and chadyuma, and the places where the shluchim come do keep 1 day. Meaning, Abaya, who is going like Rav, is holding that really there is a genuine suffix. It's not like we know which is the right day. We don't know which is the right day. If we could get rid of the kutim, we'd know which is the right day, but we don't yet know which is the right day. And therefore, there's a genuine suffix on the second day, and the reason that we can't eat the egg, okay, or they can eat the egg, is because really we know which is the right day. There's no takana. What's the machlokas going on here? Rashi explains the machlokas is really whether there's a fixed takana of 2 days in the time of the Gemara, or whether there's really a genuine suffix. And the first view is basically saying there's a fixed takana, even though they know the day, they nevertheless keep the second day. And the second view is saying, no, there's a suffix, meaning they know the day, but they keep the second day because of suffix. And there could be really serious implications to that as to how Yom Tov comes out. Yes. A takana, what's a takana? A takana is a fixed decree by the rabbis. Okay? It's not that I'm keeping second day because I'm not sure which is the right day. I'm keeping second day because they've told me, even though I know which is the right day, I still have to keep the second day. So at the time of the Gemara, it was not clear. There was a machloikus as to whether the 2 days of Yontas were like one long day, and the second day was a takana, because even though we knew the right day, we kept the second day anyway, or whether the second day was a genuine suffix. Meaning if the suffix were to go away, we'd stop keeping that day. We just have to get rid of the suffix. Now, how does that translate into our current situation today? Yes, Mikhail. Because if it's a takana, it's one long day. The issue of the egg is it's noilad, it's muksa. So if we today's if it's one long yontif, it's muksa throughout the whole of yontif. If we say tomorrow isn't really yontif, it's more like a suffix, maybe it's not going to be muksa tomorrow. Right. Exactly. Now, we now go into period 3, which is, we now have a fixed calendar. The Gemara at the end of that daf goes on to say that even Abaya agrees. Abaya, who said there was a suffix, now there is no suffix anymore. Why? Look at number 18, and this is our current situation. So the Gemara then asks later, Hashta, but nowadays. And this, the Chasam Sofer, which I'm not going to get into now, in number 20, explains that this is not the same discussion as before. This is a new discussion from a later period. Nowadays, he says, Hashta, the Yadina Bekfir de Yarcha, we know exactly how to fix the months because we have a fixed calendar. How do we get a fixed calendar? Who fixed our calendar?
Hillel
the second, probably. It's not exactly clear. Rav Haigon says it was Hillel who fixed the calendar. This was around the year 359, so that's after Shmuel, and after Abaya, and after Rav Asi, and after these people we just spoke about. It says, now we have a fixed calendar. Why did they fix the calendar? Because they were concerned the Sanhedrin was going to fall apart, and indeed it did. No Sanhedrin, we have no Kiddush HaChodesh. If there's no Kiddush HaChodesh, there's no Chagim. So what they did is they got the Sanhedrin together before it fell apart, and they were Mekadesh all the Chodeshim all the way through to the future. So that the entire, every month has been Mekudesh in advance by the Sanhedrin, the last Sanhedrin, so that we now have a fixed calendar. And they worked it all out, and they fixed the calendar, put it in place. It's more complicated than that, and I brought you references at the bottom to other books and articles that you can read if you're interested. So the Gemara wants to ask now that we have a fixed calendar, so why on earth should we keep a second day on? Because there really is no suffix. There really is no suffix anymore. By the time the Gemara is written, everyone agreed, they knew which day was Yom Tov. So what's the point of a second day Yom Tov? So these are the important words. Mishum, because, says number 18, the Shalchu Mitam, they sent out from there, his Haru b'minaga v'osechim b'yadechim. You have to now keep the minhag of your fathers, of your ancestors. Zimnin de Gazru Shmada, there may come a time when there is a Shmad, where the government of the land in which you live declares a pogroms and an anti-Jewish legislation. Va'atili kulkali, and they will mess up the calendar. Meaning, Chazal made a statement here, when the calendar was fixed, that even though we now have a fixed calendar, everybody has to keep second day Yom Tov. Why? Two things. Minagav oseinu b'yadeinu, meaning anywhere that used to keep 2 days must keep 2 days. Anywhere that used to keep 1 day still keeps 1 day. Because we're worried that the calendar may get messed up. Is that likely to happen? Well, there have been communities where the government has basically shut down everything Jewish. Think about Soviet Jewry between 1920 and 1970. And the effect, the devastating effect that the Soviets had on Jewish knowledge. Everything was forgotten in a very short period of time. Chazal said, therefore, we have to have a calendar today, which is fixed, and still keep 2 days Yom Tov nevertheless. Now, so it turns out, from the time of the Gemara, did we know which day was the right day of Yom Tov? 100%. But we still kept 2 days of Yom Tov. So people, and this is an important point, people often make a mistake today. And they say that, I don't understand why we keep second day Yom Tov. It doesn't make any sense. They used to have a suffix. They used to not know which was the right day of Yom Tov. But now we know. So what on earth are we keeping second day Yom Tov for? It must be some kind of, well, we just don't like to change things. We do it because we used to do it. But that's not true. You see from the Gemara here very clearly, they knew which was the right day of Yom Tov. And yet they still made a takana, or we'll see if it was a minag, to keep second day Yom Tov anyway. So don't think that the situation has changed now. It hasn't. By the time of the Gemara, it was already the situation that we have today with a fixed calendar. The question that we have today is, now that we have a second day Yom Tov, what is the basis for that and who has to keep it? But it's not because of any kind of suffix that's gone away. I hear that a lot from girls, from students generally, that I don't understand why we keep second day Yom Tov. Surely it's because we used to have a question, we no longer have a question. That's not true. We didn't have a question even then. But they said they made a decree to keep it. The Shaila is, was the basis of that decree? If you go over the page for a second, if you go over to page 6 already, and we'll get in a minute to the modern day scenarios and who keeps what and when. There is a machlokas rishonim as to whether the basis of second day Yom Tov today is a takana, like we saw there were some who felt in the time of the Gemara it was a takana, or whether it's now called a minhag. We now need to talk about what minhag really is. So if you look in the Ran in number 24, please look in number 24 in the Ran. So he says like this. The Ran says on the Rif the following. What is the status of second day Yom Tov today? He says, it's a takana. Aval, he says, Mikol makom rayato einu makir. I don't understand einu makir. I don't understand the proof of people that say it's not a takana. V'ki mipnei shehuska she minhag. Just because it's called a minhag. Maybe oiso raya can. You bring a riot, the fact that it's a minhag. V'halo sham ika takonahi. It's a complete takona. Damrina and Shalchu Mitam, and he quotes the Gemara there, they sent out from there, they made a takona, that everyone has to keep second day Yom Tov. Damashva shetikna kavua. They made a fixed kavona. Amru kanshi in hagu kaminag. I was saying that the takona is to act the way that we used to act. According to the Ran, and according to others, the status of second day Yom Tov today is a takona. We'll see what the implications of that is. Like every other takana. Like a takana that basically you have to keep Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a takana, a rabbinic decree that we now have to keep an extra festival, call it Hanukkah. Second day Yom Tov is exactly the same. It has full status of any other rabbinic decree. Other people say no. It has the status of a minhag. What is a minhag? A minhag might not be what you think it is. Have a look in Tosfos in number 26 for a second. Tosfos has a question as to why we make brochas on second day Yom Tov. We have alachilas matzah, and all the brachas that we make on the different things we do second day Yom Tov on Yom Tov. He says the kavase ashkechan. We find a number of times the marachinan ashnei yamim tovim. We make a bracha on the 2 Yom Tov's days shalgalius. The ena ele minhag ba'alma, and yet it's only a minhag. So according to some, second day Yom Tov is based in the idea of it being a minhag. The Rambam calls it in number 27 ele minhag bilvad. It is only a minhag. What does the Rambam mean by a minhag? If I ask you to place in order Doraisa, Drabonon, and Minhag, where would you place Minhag? On the bottom, right? Would anyone place it on the top? in the middle. Most of you place it on the bottom. I think that's an incorrect analysis, because for a number of reasons. First of all, minhag is not just what we do. People use the word minhag as if, oh, I have a minhag to do this, I have a minhag to do this, my community does this. Some minhagim are relatively recent in origin, and they start from the ground up. The Ashkenazim have a minhag not to eat kidneys on Pesach. It's a late minhag, people started doing it. Some minhagim, the Rambam makes very clear, are from the top down. Meaning, when Chazak create rabbinic legislation, they can create it in three different ways. Gezerah, Takana, or Minhag. And Minhag is something which is binding rabbinically in the same way as Takana is. It just has slightly different rules. So when we say something is a Minhag, it doesn't mean it's optional. You can do it or not do it. In fact, there are some that even say that Minhag has the status of a Doraita. Because Minhag is almost like a Neder, and a Neder is Doraita. And of course, according to the Rambam, even rabbinic law is all Doraita anyway, because every time you break a rabbinic law, you're breaking two Doraitas. So it's not so clear that Minhag is at any lower status. So what matters if I call it a Takana or if I call it a Minhag? Who cares whether I call it one or the other? So it may make a very big difference. And here we get to the question that we're really trying to get to, which is, so what do I do? What do I do if I come to a country? Now, if I have a Minhag, and I go to a place where they have a different Minhag, do I still keep my Minhag? Or do I go to their minhag? Yeah. What do I do? Come on, ladies. I'm there. Ah, permanent or temporary? See, that's an interesting question. Because if there's a takana, if there's a takana, so then I have to do this here and this there. Maybe if second day Yontif was a takana, so in Chutz La'aretz it's a takana, and in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't exist. So when I marry Eretz Yisrael, I keep one day, and in Chutz La'aretz I keep 2 days. But if it's a minhag, and I carry my minhag around with me, if I go from place A to place B, and I am intending to go back to place A, so the laws of Minhag say that I have to keep my Minhagim. Look for a second on page number 7, and then we'll get into the issue of what people do when they come and visit Israel. There may be other implications to it being a Takana or a Minhag as well. I put some on the top there. But the main issue is here, what do I do in terms of my personal Minhagim? When do I break? So look at number 31. Says the Mishnah like this: Mokum shenagu laso is malacha ba'arvei pesachim. There was a question. Some people did malacha on arvei pesachim in the morning, on erev Pesach in the morning, and some people didn't do malacha in the morning. Not talking about the afternoon, talking about the morning. So a place where they did malacha ba'arvei pesachim at chatzos, oisin. So they do it there. Mokum shenagu sheloi laso. So the other places they didn't do malacha, ain oisin. So now the Gemara asks: Haholech mi mokum sheoisin le mokum sheein oisin. If I go from a place where they do malacha to a place where they don't do malacha, or mimakam she'ein oisim lemakam she'oisim, from a place where they don't do malacha to a place where they do, what should I do? Do I change or do I not change? So the Gemara says, noisnin alav chumri makam she'yatza misham. We give people the chumras of the place that they left, the chumri makam she'halach l'sham, and the chumras of the place that they went to, v'al yishani adam ipnei machlokas, as long as you don't cause any machlokas. What's going on? I'll repeat that. Meaning, the laws of Minhag, if second day Yontif is a Minhag today, with all the binding nature of what Minhag is, rabbinic decree, whatever, second day Yontif, if it's a Minhag, means that when I go from a place that I did keep Yontif to a place where people don't keep Yontif, then I have to keep the chumras of where I came from and the chumras of where I'm going to, until what? Until I decide to stay there. And the Gemara goes on in Pesachim to say the key issue, and these are two words that I'm going to say a lot in the next 15, 20 minutes, is das o lachzor. Is my intention to go back? If my intention is to go back, then I keep my old minhagim, and I keep the chumras of where I came from, and the chumras of where I'm going to, as long as I don't cause any machlokas. But once my intention is no longer to go back, then I break with my previous minhagim, and I take on new minhagim. Meaning, if I go from Eretz Yisrael, from America to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm intending to go back to America, so as long as I'm intending to go back to America, I have to keep the minhagim of where I came from, which means 2 days Yontif, as long as I don't cause a machlokas. How might I cause a machlokas by keeping 2 days Yontif in Israel? How might I upset people by keeping 2 days Yontif in Israel? What? Yeah, what are they going to say? They're going to get all upset with me. They're going to say that I'm making it all up. I'm adding to the Yom Tovim. And therefore, there were many poskim that said that if you're keeping 2 days Yontif, you're not allowed to have a minion. You can't have a chutznik minion in Israel. You have to do it privately. You have to daven on your own. Okay, today the minion is not like that because no one gets upset by a second day Yontif minion. But in theory, they would do. If they did do, we wouldn't be allowed to do it. And therefore, people who come from America to visit, as long as they're intending to go back, they have to keep 2 days Yontif. The Shaila is, what means intending to go back? How connected to America or wherever you come from, England, you still have to be in order to be considered to be intending to go back. And that's what I want to get into now, the Shaila of Chutznikim in Eretz Yisrael on second day Yom Tov. Now, two things by way of introduction, the next 20 minutes. Yes, Barry. Oh, so how do I do that? How do I keep the chumras of where I'm going to? We'll see this kind of gets into the day and a half people as well, and maybe 2.5 days. We'll see how that works. We'll see what 2.5 days mean in a minute, okay? Now, the two important things you need to know about second day Yom Tov for Chutznikim is as follows. First of all, the Shaila is not discussed anywhere in the Rishonim. They discuss the other way around. They discuss people from Israel going to visit Chutzlaretz and what they have to do. But they don't discuss people from Chutzlaretz coming to Israel. And I'm not sure why that is. Maybe people didn't come that much. Maybe it was obvious to people what they did. But it doesn't come up as a big Shaila in the Rishonim, only in the Acharonim. That's the first thing. The second thing is it's very clear that when people came to visit Eretz Yisrael from Chutzlaretz at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they only kept one day. Nobody kept 2 days then. People only kept one day. And there are all sorts of proofs for that, which I'm not going to get into now. Some of them are on the sheet. So with those two pieces of information, let's work out what the halacha is. So the first real psak on this, there are two real approaches to this, okay? This issue of being from Chutz La'aretz and being in Eretz Yisrael, what do you do? There are two real approaches. Approach number one is you keep 2 days. You keep the minhagim of the place where you came from until you decide to stay in Israel. That's the first approach. The second approach, which is also legitimate, we'll see who it is no, the minute you come to Israel, you keep 1 day. Even if you're going back to Chutz La'aretz next week, you keep 1 day. Because once in Israel, you do what the Israelis do, and when in Chutz La'aretz, you do what the Chutznikim do. Both of these are legitimate Piskei Halacha, and we'll see right now where they come from, and we'll see where everybody else fits in. Let's look at the mainstream 2 day position first. Look at number 34. Says the Shulchan Aruch in his Tshuvas, the Avkat Roichel. The Avkat Roichel are the Tshuvas of the Shulchan Aruch. Kein mi sheba michutz la'aretz, somebody who comes from Chutz La'aretz, le'eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, v'daso lachzor, and they intend to go back. These are the words I was saying to you before. Havi bichlal b'nei Chutz La'aretz, he's like a chutznik, ninhu, they are like a chutznik, v'chein ma'asim b'chol yom, and we see all the time, he says, he's living in Sfat. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch is living in Sfat. B'chol shana v'shana, oylim l'shlosh regalim, we see people coming up for Yom Tov all the time from Chutz La'aretz. La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Va'oisim yom sheni. They keep second day. Shalgalias k'tikunav k'mishpatav v'chutz la'aretz. Just like they did in Chutz La'aretz. The psak of the tshuvas of the Shulchan Aruch here, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch itself, which is interesting. Why didn't he write this in the Shulchan Aruch? I don't know. He wrote the other halacha of people from Israel going to Chutz La'aretz. But in his tshuvas, he writes that a chutznik coming to Eretz Yisrael, if they're intending to go back, has to keep 2 days. What does it mean intending to go back? We'll talk about that in a minute. But he brings that as a psak of 2 days. That is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in number 35. And that is the mainstream psak of most of the poskim over the last 500 years. I've quoted a whole long line of them in page number 8. The Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Eliashiv, the Tzvaradim as well, Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, Rav Scheinberg, Rav Melamed, who is one of the leading poskim in the religious Zionist community. The mainstream psak of most people is that if you come to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz and you're intending to go back, you must keep 2 days following the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Because it's based on Minhag, because the rubric of second day Yom Tov is Minhag, and the halachas of Minhag are such that you keep the chumras of the place that you came from until such time as you cut ties. Think of it in other ways as well. If I'm as an Ashkenazi, don't eat rice on Pesach, and I go visit Sfaradim for Pesach, I'm still not allowed to eat rice on Pesach. If I go and live in Yemen, and I'm now Sfaradi, then I am allowed to eat rice on Pesach, because I changed my community. Similarly, if you're a chutznik and you come to Israel, you keep them in Hagim of Chutz La'aretz, which is second day Yom Tov, until such time as you decide that you're now no longer a chutznik. We'll see what that means in a minute. Jessica.
Like, how long comes to
We'll talk. We'll talk about that right now. Yes. They have to keep the chumras. They have to keep second day Yom Tov in public so as not to cause a machlokas. Because of. Yeah, they have to keep it. Yes.
But what about the people? How would they answer?
Oh, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Talk about that in a minute. Yes?
If you make IAR and then after a few years go back to the Chutz-Laaretz.
Right. If you make a permanent move back to Chutz-Laaretz, then once you get there, you have to keep 2 days. I know a family who is moving to Chutz-Laaretz on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. He's going to take a rabbinic position. The first days of Sukkos, they're keeping 1 day Yontif. The second days, they're keeping 2 days Yontif. Because the first days, they're in Israel. And the second days, they're Chutznikim permanently. They're there for the foreseeable future. That's a perfectly reasonable sack. I actually know of a guy who actually decided on second day Yontif in Israel that he was making Aliyah. Interesting case. He was second day Shavuos. He was so inspired by the davening on Shavuos that he announced after Shacharis, I've now been so excited by the davening, I'm becoming Israeli, there's nothing that can stop me. And he had two shilas now. Does he have to keep the rest of second day Yontif? Girls, if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. Okay? It's really... There's a lot of stuff going on at this side of the room. Okay? His two shilas were, do I have to daven Shacharis again because I'm now Israeli and I just davened the Chutznik davening? And my second shila is, do I have to keep the rest of second day Yontif? And what was the answer he got? He says he didn't have to keep the rest of second day Yontif because he's now Israeli. And he didn't have to daven Shacharis again because when he davened Shacharis, he was a Chutznik. Okay. He's made a decision. You don't have to go to Nefesh B'Nefesh to get your paperwork. He said, there's nothing that's going to stop me from becoming Israeli. I asked the Rav who told me that story, who knew the guy. I said to him, did he make Aliyah? He said, that's a different story. Okay? But in principle, once you've made a permanent break, you've made a permanent break. So according to this first approach in Halacha, it's very simple. It's 2 days until you make a break, whatever that break is. And all the different psakim that you hear, I've got a house in Israel, I come for a year to Israel, they're all based on the two-day people, who are basically just deciding at what point you sever your roots with Chutz Laaretz and you become Israeli. Yes?
So, but you could make that decision and say, I'm going to make Aliyah and then not actually end up doing it for like years, but you could have it in mind, I'm going to make Aliyah at some point. So does that count you as like...
There are poskim, we'll see Rav Eliezer Malamed, who holds that if you have a firm decision to make Aliyah, but you don't know exactly when you're coming, he holds you keep 1 day. We'll see.
In Chutz-Laaretz?
No, obviously not in Chutz-Laaretz. While you're in Chutz-Laaretz, you have to keep 2 days. Even if you have a plan to make Aliyah next week, even if you sold your house, you've got your tickets and you're ready to go, you're making Aliyah next week, you have to keep 2 days until you actually leave. But if you're in Israel and you're planning to make Aliyah, maybe there's a psak... Maybe that's already disconnected, but we're getting ahead of ourselves, and I can't go through all the cases yet. Now, that's the first psak, which is 2 days, which is based on the mainstream approach of most places. However, at the same time as the Shulchan Aruch, there was another Rav, Sfardi Rav, the Mabitz, okay, Rav Moshe de Trani, who gave an opposite psak. Look in number 36 and 37, which we're not going to look at in detail now, but if you look in number 36, you'll see, you can read this on your own later, he makes a couple of points. First of all, he says, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the minhag of Chutznikim, who visited Israel, was to keep 1 day. So if we have to keep minhag of Oseinu B'Yadeinu, so the minhag of visiting Chutznikim then, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was 1 day. So therefore, visiting Chutznikim today should keep 1 day. And he paskened 1 day. Comes along the Chacham Tzvi, who was actually Ashkenazi, but lived in a Sephardi country for most of his life. That's why he got the name Chacham Tzvi. And he said, I agree with this. And he paskened very clearly. He said, even though you may be visiting just for the day, just for the week, you have to keep the minhag of the place where you're coming to, you have to keep 1 day Yontif. And one of the reasons he said that is as follows. He said, if you take on a chumrah in a place which is actually potentially ossa, meaning, if I were to come to decide to become Sephardi, but I still don't want to eat rice on Pesach, is that allowed? Yeah, no one's forcing me to eat rice on Pesach. But says the Chacham Tzvi, if I come to live in Israel permanently and say I still want to keep second day Yontif, even though I'm now definitely Israeli, is that allowed?
No.
Why not?
It's a brachel of
Atola. It's Bal Tosif. I'm adding on to the Yamim Tovim. He said it's not allowed. He said there's no such thing, he says, as a chumrah, which if you were to take it on permanently, would be ossa. And therefore, he paskens the chutznikim that come to Eretz Yisrael have to keep 1 day and 1 day only. It's nothing to do with Das or Lachzor. Even if you're going back next week, he says it's 1 day and 1 day only. Therefore, you have these two psakim. One of the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which is 2 days. unless you decide to stay, whatever that means. The psak of the Mabit and the Chacham Tzvi, which is one day, no matter what you're going to do. And all of the modern day psakim come from there. Go over to page 9. Yes.
So if the Mabit and the Chacham Tzvi say you went in Rome kind of thing,
yes.
Wouldn't that mean that Israelis who are actually put in America should be keeping
2 days?
Yes,
100%. It goes the other way as well. Israelis in Chutz La'aretz would have to definitely keep 2 days, according to this psak, probably. Yeah, which is a chumrah, obviously. They're not saying when in Rome because of when in Rome. They're saying it for halachic reasons, but I understand.
Yeah, halachic.
The quote, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, comes from another place, which we'll not talk about right now. Okay. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Lubavitch, and says in number 38... B'nei Chutz La'aretz, Shebao L'Eretz Yisrael, Chutznikim, who come to Eretz Yisrael, Afal Pi Shedasam Lachsa, even though they intend to go right back to Chutz La'aretz, Ein Oisin Ele Yom Echad, they have to keep 1 day K'bnei Eretz Yisrael, just like Israelis. V'yesh Cholkim. But there are those that disagree with this. Who disagrees with this? Shulchan Aruch. I mean, in the Tshuvas of the Shulchan Aruch. Ne'afkas Roich. So, you find a very interesting psak here, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, passes clearly like the one-day people. And you have a whole list of other people who go with this. This is a very respectable psak. It's got nothing to do with you leaving Chutz La'aretz or becoming Israeli. It's just straight 1 day, even if you're going back tomorrow. And I give you a whole line of people who follow this. Most of the Chabad rabbis follow this. It's brought down by various other achronim. It's supported by the old Yishuv. The old Yeshuv, the Sephardi Yeshuv in Eretz Israel went with this psak. The old Ashkenazi Yeshuv went with this psak, although it turned into a day and a half, for reasons that you'll see. Rav Kook apparently went with this psak, that people should keep 1 day Yontif. There's a whole story about, so one of Rav Kook's Talmidim was asked by the British authorities, actually by the JNF in the 1930s or 20s, to arrange a second night Seder for Chutznikim. And Rav Kook was very uncomfortable making a second night Seder for Chutznikim, because he basically followed the psak of the one-day people. So he agreed to do it on the condition that they had an orchestra playing on second night for Seder to accompany the Chazan, okay, so that they realized it was not like a regular Yontif, but it was something a little bit different. So they had a second night Seder with orchestral background. I actually slightly did this once. I had a group of girls for second night Seder. We used to make a second night Seder. Don't get excited, we don't do it anymore. We used to make a second night Seder for students who were keeping 2 days, and I used to play the piano in the background while they were singing Dayenu. And after a while we stopped because it got a bit ridiculous. But this is a perfectly reasonable psak. So we have the 2 day people and we have the 1 day people. So where do we get the modern day psakim from? So basically, most of the people that you're going to ask are 2 day people. They may be prepared to take account of the Chacham Tzvi as what they call a tziruf. What's a tziruf? What's the litzdareif?
To join in.
Meaning, there are poskim in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael that basically pass in 2 days, but they say, you know something, if you're in a real suffix zone, if you're in a real questionable situation, the Chacham Tzvi's opinion may push you over in the edge to a 1 day person. This is the psak that I got when we came on to Aliyah, except we didn't come on Aliyah. We came for 2 years as a trial period to see if it would work out. I gave up my job. We rented out our home. We took our kids out of school and put them in school in Israel, etc. And we asked the Shaila, should we keep 2 days or 1 day? And we were told, you're really a big Suffolk, you're in a big grey area. But the Rav that I asked was a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he said, even though we pasken 2 days in principle, we take into account the Chacham Tzvi's 1 day psak, where there's a suffix and it'll push you into 1 day, and we kept 1 day. So you do find some 2 day people who lean more towards the 1 day because of the Chacham Tzvi, even though they don't paskin like him, clearly. At the other side of the coin, you have some 1 day people who developed into the 1.5 day psak. What's the 1.5 day psak? 1.5 days means we basically paskin you keep 1 day, but as an acknowledgement of the psak of 2 days, we don't want you to do malacha on the second day. So you daven chol, you hear havdalah after first day yontif, you're basically Israeli, except you're not doing any malacha on the second day. So you have to know what's malacha, what's not malacha, the raisa, the rabbanon, etc. And again, the 1.5 day psak grew out of the 1 day people. So basically now you have four approaches. Straight 2 days, 2 days, but leaning towards one day because of the Chacham Tzvi, if you're in a Suffolk. Straight 1 day. And the 1.5 day people, which are basically 1 day, but with a Chumrah. Who gets which psak? Well, it depends on who you ask, and it depends on what you're doing. If you look here for a second, I've brought you on page 11 a whole bunch of examples of different people that got different psakim in different scenarios. There's also a question of elat. What do we do in elat? If you go to elat for yontzif, the mainstream psak is 1 day in elat. But here are factors which become relevant. Now again, these are all factors for the 2 day people. If you're basically a straight Chacham Tzvi or Lubavitcher Rebbe person, then there's nothing to talk about because you're keeping 1 day anyway. But if you're basically a 2 day person, you're trying to work out what's das o lachzor, what does it mean that you've now, you're going back or you're not going back? So these are the factors they take into account. Number one, if you move to Israel with family, with independent financial means, the poskim are much more likely to turn around and say, depending on who you ask, that you're now basically living in Israel. Ah, but I might come back to Chutz La'aretz. Okay, you might, but you're more independent, and therefore we're going to give you a psak of 1 day. Because that's called, you've cut yourself up. Ein odas o lachzor. If you're not financially independent, if you're single, if you're still dependent on your parents, you're more likely to get a psak. Well, that's called das o lachzor. Ah, but you're telling me you'd like to stay in Israel, but you're not yet able to make that decision independently, and therefore you're really getting a 2 day psak because you're still connected to Chutz La'aretz. The more decisions that you're able to make which make you independent, for example, we had a Shirut Lumi girl for Yom Kippur, okay, and she was telling us, she asked a Shaila to a Rav in Israel, and he said, now that you're doing Shirut Lumi, that's more likely to push you towards the Israeli side, and you're less likely to be still connected to Israel, even though to England, even though she's still probably going to go back to England, but she'd like to stay in Israel. She already got a psak of 1 day. It's on the gvul, on the border there. There is a well-known Sfardi psak that Rav Avadya Yosef gave, which he said that any seminary student or yeshiva student here for the year keeps 1 day. Why? Because even though you're planning to go back, some nice guy might sweep you off your feet, propose to you after Pesach, and even though you have clear plans to go back to America, those plans may be thrown in the garbage by the end of the year and you may stay here. For many Sephardi girls, that is a psak, which is a very valid psak, and they go with that psak and keep 1 day. You should know that some Ashkenazim also say that. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, who holds that basically Chusnikim keep 2 days if they're visiting, he holds that all students studying in seminary, even for 10 months, keep 1 day. Why? Because now that they're in Israel, it's a significant amount of time, it's a disconnection for Chutz La'aretz. I'd say that's not such a mainstream psak, but there are these kind of psakim, even with the quote-unquote 2 day people. There's an Orach HaShulchan that says if you're here for a year or more, that's it. You're now here for a year, 12 months. Even if you have plans to go back, those plans are not so relevant. You keep 1 day. There are poskim that say once you keep all the regalim here, then that's already now called being detached from Chutz La'aretz for the purposes of the regalim. Therefore, you keep 1 day yontzif. You own property here, which you live in part of the time. There are poskim that say the property is also, again, all these things are indications of detachment from Chutz La'aretz and attachment to Eretz Yisrael. So again, depending on who you ask, you'll get 1 day or 2 days for the 2 day people. If you ask a Chabad posik, you'll get a 1 day psak straight anyway, because they're going straight with the 1 day. But if you ask the quotes and quotes 2 day people, the more likely you are to get a one psak is if you're more independent, more of a family, more focused on staying, more plans to stay, etc. You're more likely to get a one day psak, than a 2 day psak. Fine. Then the last little point which I want to talk about, then I'll take some questions, is as follows. And I put all the details of all the people that say what on the sheet. You'll be able to understand that. The mainstream psak of most people, for people in your position, let's face it, tachlis, what are you going to do? The mainstream psak for people who have plans to go back to Chutz La'aretz is for you to keep 2 days. Okay? There may be people who go with a 1 day approach or the 1.5 day approach, but the mainstream psak is 2 days. I know girls who got a psak of 2 days for Sukkot, but by Pesach, they're already much clearer in what they're doing and they have a psak of 1 day for Pesach, because by Pesach, they've already got clear plans. I had a girl in another seminary ask me a question. She said, I'm never going back. I'm financially independent. My parents support me staying in Israel. After my year in seminary, I propose to do Shirut Lumi or go to the army or whatever it is, and I'm here for life. okay, I'm not sure there's anything to talk about. Why is she keeping 2 days Yontif? She's definitely going to keep 1 day Yontif. But most people are not yet that in that position. Therefore, they still have connections to America or wherever it is. They're keeping 2 days. Yes?
Can you get a psak in the middle of Sukkot to keep 1 day afterwards?
This guy got a psak in the middle of Shavuos that I talked about on second day Yontif itself. If your plans crystallize really and truly in the middle of Yontif, that's a different thing. You ask a new Shaila. I often tell people who ask me Shailas on Sukkot, if they feel that they're on the borderline, they should ask again for Pesach and again for Shavuos. Because the year can change and you can change with the year. Michal.
If your family makes aliyah, you make aliyah with them, you've got plans to go back to another.
Right, so then that depends on who you ask. Rav Melamed says once you're visiting Israel and you have either parents living here or children living here, then you keep 1 day here. Again, not everybody paskens that way. He's a 2 day person in principle, but he paskens that way if you have family here. Other people will say you have to keep a second day Yontif if you're definitely going back. Okay? What's that? Yeah, not like a third cousin living in Dimona. Yeah? Okay, girls, the last thing, and then we'll finish. If you're a 2 day person, can you get a 1 day person to do stuff for you on Yontif? This is a very interesting halacha lemaisa. You're sitting there on second day Yontif, keeping second day Yontif, but you want someone to turn the lights on, you want someone to straighten your hair, or whatever these things that you do, you know. Are you allowed to ask people who are keeping 1 day Yontif to do stuff for you on second day Yontif? So, there's a machlokes aposkim. Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly says, no, you can't. Rav Avadi Yosef says, yes, you can. Everybody agrees that you can benefit from the locha done by a one-day person. It's more lenient than a non-Jew. If a non-Jew does malacha for you on first or second day Yontif, you can't benefit from it under normal circumstances. But everyone agrees you can benefit. The shaila is, can you ask? The psak of many poskim on this is that if it's a case of a serious need, a tzorech godel, or a tzorech mitzvah, then you're allowed to ask a one-day person to do stuff for you. You shouldn't really be getting in a car and traveling around and going on a bus and things. Depending on what the exact need is, you shouldn't really be doing that. But you can, you certainly can benefit if people put the lights on. You may even be able to ask them if it's a really serious situation. Yes? What do you mean? If they do stuff, there's no shali, you can benefit from that. Absolutely. Doesn't matter. She wants to paint your nails.
Yeah, let's say she wants to paint your
nails. If she's doing, you have no issa to have your nails painted. I'm not sure that this is something you need to be so machmir on. Somebody is going to, in advance, is going to do something for you. So, again, if it's a situation where you really need it, one can be more make or perhaps one shouldn't be in an ideal world. Yes?
I mean, I know that my family keeps 1 day, but I remember my brother was here a day and a half.
Okay.
He got into a taxi, but he wouldn't pay.
Well, because he's not really keeping... He's not really keeping the second day at all a second day. He's keeping really the second day as a chumrah. So he's not doing any malocha d'oraisa, but getting into a cab is not a malocha d'oraisa, and therefore as a 1.5 day person, that's more of a possibility than a real 2 day person. Getting into a cab on Shabbos is not a malocha d'oraisa. Okay? Even if a Jew's driving. I mean, it could be if you're making the cab heavier, you know, depending on how heavy you are, you know? You're a 1 day person or a 2 day person?
You're a 1 day person.
So what's the shaila yet?
The current plan is a 2 day.
Yeah. To put their blow dryer on their hair.
Right.
So, you know, I honestly, if they're not asking and the girl's doing it and doing the Serech Mitzvah, I'm not sure what the big problem is. I'm not sure what the big problem is. She's not allowed to turn on the blow dryer. If someone wants to blow your hair on Shabbos, second day Yontif, don't do it on Shabbos. On second day Yontif, I'm not sure what exactly the problem is. There comes a point at which you cross over into something which is like a Zilzal Yontif. If you're now not taking second day Yontif seriously, and maybe I'll make, there's a Hashgafa point here, which Rav Melamed brings down. I've brought Rav Melamed here because there's no one that comes more religiously Zionist and Israeli than Rav Melamed, but nevertheless he holds that for Chutznikim, there's a Hashgafic point as well, of it takes 2 days Yontif. Until you connect with the Ruchnis of Eretz Yisrael, you need 2 days Yontif in order to achieve what other people need 1 day Yontif for. There's a real hashgrafa point there. So don't be mazalzel. Don't, if you like, belittle the second day, because it's a real thing. But at the end of the day, you're in Israel, and it's not the same as in Chutz La'aretz. It would be completely awesome to do that in Chutz La'aretz. If you had an Israeli in Chutz La'aretz who said, please blow dry my hair, that would be completely awesome. In Eretz Israel, it's harder to say quite how awesome that is. Gabby.
Hi.
Hi.
That's like someone's taking, doing 1.5.
Yes.
And
right.
Hot.
A 1.5 person could definitely shower on second day Yontif. Definitely. Yeah, because she's showering on second day Yontif. Right, they're not doing malocha doraisa. They're not doing doraisas, but they're not keeping all of the chumras of second day Yontif. They're just not doing malocha as a chumra, okay? And therefore, I don't see, since many poskim say you can shower anyway on second day Yontif. So this person doesn't normally shower on second day. I don't think a 1.5 day person has to be concerned about showering on Yontif. She has to, second day, she has to be careful not to do malacha. She shouldn't be kind of combing through her hair and doing stuff which is, you know, and maybe even the hot water. And the hot water wouldn't be a problem. But I don't think she has to be machmir not to shower. Bichlal not, especially if it's a 3 day Yontif for covered Shabbos. Even people who are keeping second day Yontif often shower, especially on a 3 day Yontif. I think that's already a step too far. Yes, Barry. Before this, nothing to do with the state of Israel. It's the people who are in Israel kept 1 day, the people of Chutz La'aretz kept 2 days. It's nothing to do with the state as a whole. The state may have an effect on the Kedusha of certain places like Eilat. The state may have an effect on that, it's depending on how you view the Kedusha of the state of Israel. But no, there's nothing to do specifically with the state. Okay, I hope that helps in some way to explain where things are coming from. And you understand a little bit the 1 day people, the 2 day people who are Makel, and the 1 day people who are Machmir, and all the different places in between. Again, there's much more on the sheet than I've had a chance to tell you, but I will leave you to read that on your own. I'll speak to you afterwards, Kana. Right. Oh, you were thinking about that for an hour. Okay. Let's turn off the tapes.